Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
This Sunday, don't miss your chance to win $10,000 of Cliff Boyer's money during the NASCAR Cup Series race at Richmond. Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and pick six outcomes in Stage 2 for your shot to win.
Eric Mangini disagrees with me on virtually everything. Three Super Bowl rings. My buddy, he's going to join me now live, Fox Sports. All right, so... You know the Patriots well, and I've said this. Bill Belichick has made 82 draft day trades since he's been the Patriots head coach. It's not only more than anybody else. There's only one other team in the 60s. So Bill moves around a lot. Now, you can move around a lot in the fourth and third round, but you gotta, if you move up in the first round, you got to give up a lot of draft capital. Do you believe they move up? Because they're not too far back, Eric. It's like 15 to move to 7 or 8 if a quarterback falls. That feels very doable to me. You know Belichick's personality. What do you think?
Yeah, it's doable, and he's made a ton of trades. But when you look at his first-round trades, they've all been in the 20s. I think the only trade that was a little bit lower was like Ty Warren, where he went from 14 to 13 or 15 to 14, whatever the case may be. But most of those trades are deeper into the first round. And there's only been four of them in 20 years. Now, he's never drafted a quarterback in the first round, so it's hard for me to believe that he's going to do that now. You know, he really hadn't drafted receivers in the first round, except for Derek Alexander in Cleveland. Then he drafted N'Keal Harry, and I don't know if he was happy with that decision. So it's hard for me to think that they would move up to get a quarterback, and it's hard for me to think that he'd give away a lot to make that move. And when you're talking about the guys that are going to be there, I mean, you've got a reasonable shot of getting that next tier of guys at 15.
Well, it's interesting. Like let's say Trey Lance, who most people say needs a year in a system. Could I not argue that he shares some of Cam Newton's traits, big physical moves? Trey Lance, let's say all of a sudden Trey Lance is available, you get to the number 9 spot, and Bill's sitting there thinking, okay, you know, 9 or 10 – You can make a Trey Lance feels like a fit to me.
Yeah, I like Trey Lance a lot. I like Trey Lance for the reasons that I don't necessarily like Mac Jones. He's in a less developed system. He's got a ton of upside, and you look at this situation, you think, where can he be with a few years of pro coaching? And you see a guy like Josh Allen with Brian Daboll and how much he improved over time. Trey Lance to me is exciting in the right system, but he is going to need some time. Now, what I don't know about Trey is what kind of guy he is, what kind of student he is, how hard he works. If he's got those traits with what he has physically and what he's shown so far, he's a really exciting idea. And I kind of like the idea of him there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think we nitpicked Justin Fields to death. One of the criticisms of him was actually debunked this week, which is that, you know, he couldn't throw to anybody but his first receiver. And then Pro Football Focus went out, looked at all the film, and he was actually number one of all these quarterbacks in throwing to his second or third read. Mac Jones was eighth. He was the worst of all these quarterbacks throwing to his non-primary read. What do you think, give me your gut feeling on Shanahan, what's going through his head now, because he's not going to get Trevor Lawrence. He's probably not going to get Zach Wilson. Take those two off the board. What do you think is going through his head?
Well, it's so interesting when you talk about this, because people knock Mac Jones because he's not mobile. And the thing you have to look at is coaches want someone that can run their system. And they want someone that can run their system effectively because – they feel like the plays that they call and the things that they do are really good. And if someone runs it well, then they're going to be successful. And you want the guy that when the whole world knows you're going to pass, he's able to do that. And Mac Jones has shown that ability. He's been able to move around. We ding guys because he doesn't have the mobility, but you don't really start with what can go wrong. You start with what can go right for a guy. I could see them liking, or I can understand why they like Mac Jones as much as they do, except, you know, you've got a little bit of what we saw with Tua, and you've got the fact that this is as close to a pro football team as you're going to get with Alabama.
Yeah.
And different than Trey Lance, how much upside does he have? Is this as close to finish as he's going to be? How much more ceiling is there? But with Justin Fields, you could argue that Ohio State's very similar.
Well, you know, it's funny. For years and years, I talked to multiple general managers, and they said this. They said the problem with drafting Nick Saban guys, and this was the knock on Tom Osborne at Nebraska, that they're such good coaches, they peak in college. Like, Nick gets everything out of them. He grinds them. And by the time they get to the NFL, that's the player. Now, I don't even want to call out a player. There was a college coach in recent years who was a recruiter that couldn't coach. And people would tell me about this coach all the time. They're like, oh, draft his players. They're totally untapped. So as I say that to you, you're nodding as though you know that's true in the NFL.
I felt that pain. I felt that pain with Ohio State. I drafted two different Ohio State guys that I thought were going to continue to develop, and they didn't. And it was the same issue. That program was so advanced from a coaching perspective, from a development perspective, from a off-season program, weightlifting, all the things that you look to make a real jump with a guy when he gets into pro football, they were close. And so when we got the guys, they didn't move the needle very much. And Alabama's the same way. Not only are they as close to a pro team as you can get, but they've been driven hard. And,
yes.
And there's always a question on where the wear and tear is and how much tread is left on the tires with some of these kids.
Yeah. So the NFL.com did a survey on the best and worst GMs, and Gruden was right at the bottom. And, you know, he got five first-rouners for Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. And of those five picks, four are kind of meh, one's great. And I've said this. Sometimes what makes you great is your enemy. John was a great television analyst. And one of the reasons is he is, you know, he's like a kid in a toy store. He falls in love with everything. He's got huge opinions. I love Johnny Manziel. He's the best player I've ever seen. Henry Ruggs, I love him. He's the fastest guy. But general managers have told me for years, don't fall in love with players. Fall in like with them. Chris Ballard falls in. He never uses the word love. John uses the word love all the time. And I look at Gruden and I say to myself, is this Raider experiment, is this thing just a dud? I mean, how do you look at it?
Well, look, we've all been guilty of being in love with someone and maybe looking past some of the shortcomings. And thankfully, people have looked past some of our shortcomings, because they've been in love with us, so I get that. But you're absolutely right. You can't do that with players. You got to find out really what they are. And we'd always talk about that in the draft room. We can't be fooled when a guy walks in the door. We've got to know exactly what his strengths are and what his weaknesses are. And, you know, if he comes in and we don't know that, then shame on us, because we had the ability to find that out. In terms of John Gruden going anywhere, it's like Russell Wilson going somewhere this year. It's not happening. He can go 1-15 next year. He's not going anywhere. They're not going to eat $60 million in dead coaching money for John Gruden. It's not happening. I don't care how big that stadium is in Las Vegas. You're not eating $60 million. And look, if you want to be on the optimistic side, he's improved every year, right? 4-12, 7-9, 8-8. You know, if he keeps improving, he's not going anywhere with that contract.
Yeah. You love the draft. You and I both love the draft. I think it's so much fun. I honest to God, I would argue after the NFL, a big college football game, maybe the World Cup and a World Series or an NBA final game, it's my favorite topic as a sports radio host. I love the draft.
Yeah, and to me, I think the draft has gotten so much better because of the way that they've changed the rookie salary cap. Before, when you had those high picks, if you missed on one of those guys, you were dead. And you were dead for 3, 4, 5 years because the contracts are so cumbersome. Now you can trade those picks. You gain real value from those picks and the fifth-year option. It's amazing the opportunities that you have. And We see the amount of trades that have increased since the change in some of those rules.
Yeah, the Jamarcus Russell contract was the one that I think was the tip of the iceberg where you're like, it just ruined a franchise for 3 years. It never made sense to me. I'm going to pay a college kid more than every NFL player in my locker room. It's like, what? What? Made no sense.
And it added resentment in the locker room, too. Tons of resentment. These guys walking around, you know, they're at the veteran minimum. And look, they're not getting paid a small amount of money. I get that. But when you see some young kid come in who's done absolutely nothing, getting paid for potential, it makes guys sick. And you understood that from a coaching perspective, too.
Can you imagine LeBron James? A rookie walks in and made more than LeBron James. Oh. I mean, it's just insane how, you know, listen, man, the NFL, one of its strengths is getting better. Like, it constantly tweaks stuff. It used to have an absurd rookie pay scale. It was just didn't make, and I know everybody loves the players getting paid. So do I, after they have a couple touchdown passes.
Wait, Colin, when I had that fifth pick in Cleveland my first year there, I wanted to get out of it because the contract was going to be so ridiculous. There was nobody that I thought was worth that kind of money. And we were thinking about trading back for anything just to get out of the money and the commitment that we would have to that guy. It was a handicap.
Yeah. Who'd you draft?
We traded back and eventually took Alex Mack.
Oh, he's Pro Bowl center.
Yeah. We saved, I think, $35 million.
Oh, my God.
That we could use for free. Yeah. It's one of those things where at the time people were mad that we traded back and, you know, he's become a great center, and we saved a ton of money.
Yeah, good stuff. Good to see you. Coach, have a great weekend. Good seeing you.
All right, you too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
No shade, but I think Sam Bradford's contract kind of...
Oh, was it Sam Bradford's?
Well, I remember one of them always injured, yeah. And those contracts just used to be insane.
It's insane.
It's fine. They're going to make that eventually, but have to
Baker
build
Mayfield
up to it.
Was the number one pick. The right tackle makes more than him. If you look at their cut, look, Jarvis Landry makes more. OBJ makes more. And he was the number one pick. That's the way it should be. Now, Baker's going to make a ton in his second contract and even more in his third. But as a number one pick, you should be about the seventh highest paid player on your team. Even at quarterback, you should not be the number one paid guy.
Well, also, that's the same structure that every business has when you're starting out. You don't make the same as the CEO.
Right.
Just because you're the face. That how it works. So the Nets are one of the favorites to win the NBA title. Charles Barkley is hoping this doesn't happen. And he explained why he's not rooting for the Nets at all this year.
Well, I'm always going to root against Brooklyn. So I'm
going to what?
I'm always root against Brooklyn.
Why?
I just don't like the way they put that team together. So I'm rooting against.
Wait, time out. What don't you like about it?
Guy
traded there. Another guy signed there.
No, guys. You know I'm never going to be I'm never going to be a proponent of guys teaming up. Never going to be for it. So I'm rooting for anybody to beat Brooklyn.
I root for anarchy, and I have no problem with super teams. And I like watching winning basketball.
I like villains.
And I love villains.
Yeah, I love villains.
So I have no problem with the Nets. I'm a Heat fan, and I still want to see the Nets in the finals.
By the way, none of these super teams in the NBA last more than like 3 years. They wear each other out.
I also, I like many things, like many new things, and super teams are not really particularly that new, but let's pretend that they are. Because player mobility is more encouraged now and more acceptable, and it's just happening more. This is the NBA now, guys. So, just accept it. The last team to win a championship that wasn't a super team,
Mavericks.
Meaning a superstar or a star didn't join up with other players who had already been established, was the 2014-15 Warriors. Because they drafted Steph and Clay.
Yeah, but they also, they drafted their butt off with Clay.
Well, but they built their team. They drafted them. Like, they actually, we think of the Warriors as a super team now because of Kevin Durant. But their first championship with Steph and Clay and Draymond, that was a team that they built, that they developed and drafted. So that's not a super, that was not a super team. Now with KD, yes. But they drafted and created that team. That was the last team. That was 2014, 2015. It's 2021 now, guys. Every single championship that has been won between then and now, and likely will again this year because it will probably be the Lakers and Nets, will be a group of guys that teamed up together to win a championship. So that's the way you win now. 2014, 2021. That's it. So just accept it. Let it wash over you. You can still do it the traditional way if you like. Best of luck to you. But that's what's happening. Like, it's no longer a trend.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Cavs, that's, Kevin Love.
That's the business.
Kyrie Irving, LeBron James.
That's the business model.
The Lakers, the Warriors with KD. Kawhi went to the Raptors, who were the number one seed every single year in the East.
And people always say, that means the city I live in. Hey, the bottom line, these owners like expansion fee money. So we've got about six teams in every league that probably shouldn't have a franchise. If you didn't have a franchise by 1995, you didn't need one. The owners just wanted to make expansion fee money. That's it.
Look, the one good thing about it, though, I will say this, though. I mean, Cleveland, obviously, LeBron was from there, so that's why that happened. But Toronto isn't a massive market. Like, don't look at it that way. Now, obviously, Kawhi was traded there, but, like, the team made the move to get a superstar when they had stars on the team. It's still a super team. You don't have to be in a particular city. Now, it still benefits you to be in LA. It still benefits you to be in New York. It still benefits you to be in Miami for business and, you know, other things. But you have money for private jets. You can leave in the off season.
Right.
You don't have to go to it. Like, being in a small market is not the worst thing anymore. You can still make a ton of money and win. So I don't want to hear it. It's about being aggressive and just let it wash over you. Super teams are here to stay. So Dwayne Wade is moving into the business side of basketball. He has bought an ownership stake in the Utah Jazz. Along with the majority owner, Ryan Smith, Wade plans to take a very active role with the franchise. He said, "This goes way beyond the dream I had to just play basketball in the NBA. I do not take it lightly. For me, this is an opportunity to grow." So he is a part owner of the Utah Jazz now. Heat owner Mickey Arison went to Twitter and sent some well wishes. He also said that he had approached Wade about joining Heat ownership when he retired, but Wade wasn't ready to make a move at that point.
You know, I think it's really smart because Utah's always been well run. The Miller family, I've actually been to the Jazz games. It's almost a college atmosphere. They sell out, but it gives them a little swag with D-Wade. And I think among star players, can D-Wade have a little pull that, hey, it's cool here?
This is everything I was just talking about.
Yeah.
That's not a huge market.
Yeah. By the way, it is. Players that play there like it, by the way. Karl Malone, I go to Utah a lot. Malone's got businesses everywhere. So the players that have played there, I saw Mark Eaton at a Whole Foods. The players that play there love playing in Utah. It's like the guys who play with the Packers will tell you, oh, they treat you like gold.
I love that players are, you know, Wade, obviously, Michael, we're assuming LeBron is going to do this as well, are getting involved in the ownership side of the sport as well. So yesterday was National High Five Day.
It was.
You know, there's national days for everything. And Tom Brady was having some fun celebrating the holiday. He's been really excellent on social media.
He is.
He tweeted a picture from the Bucks playoff game against the Saints when he went for a high five with the ref after he scored a rushing touchdown, which made Twitter go insane.
Wasn't that? People just got so worked up with that. Like, you can't have levity during a game.
I mean, they lost their collective minds over this.
Do you know how many players would joke with Dick Pavetta during NBA basketball games? Like, he was like their friend. They would buy his grandkids gifts.
Well, the ref did not give him a high five. He was left hanging, but he was obviously making light of it. But Tom Brady has some pretty memorable moments of being left hanging. It's like a notorious thing with the Patriots where he would just like that's my favorite one. I mean, just no one is paying any attention to this man. He's just walking around. All he wants is a high five. Like, all he wants is some attention. It's really funny. He also tweeted yesterday, it's 21 years ago today, which was yesterday, that Tom Brady was drafted by the Patriots 199 overall.
I got to give that referee credit.
What, to have the self-awareness not to do that? He tweeted, "A big day. My NFL career can legally buy a beer." It's pretty remarkable.
If you were an official, Tom Brady walked by and was laughing at you, say, "Hey, Bob, high five." Could you control yourself?
I think you have to.
I know, but it's not easy.
It's very tempting.
Very
high five from Tom Brady.
If you had a super, you're Derek Jeter's at the plate, and you have been a Major League umpire for 25 years, and you've been doing Jeter games forever. And Jeter, you know, because Jeter was savvy. And Jeter comes up before the game, hey, happy birthday. And you're like...
I mean, I think you can say thanks.
But what, and by the way, my point is, and Jeter comes up to you, because Jeter's the kind of guy who would do this. He'd go, hey, Hank, happy birthday. And then he would probably go, you tell me that umpire's not going to give him the corners? You know he is. I would.
Yeah, of course.
But I would
There's always a little, you know, there's a little mental games to be played with the referees. Of course, everyone does it. That's why guys freak out. They yell on the sidelines and throw a fit or, you know, they're talking to them the whole game. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean that they're not doing that.
Herm Edwards. Funny how Herm, if you mic Herm Edwards. Bobby. What'd you do this summer? What'd you and Phyllis do this summer?
Yeah, of course. You want to, you know, soften it up.
I can pull that flag out for holding or not see it. Same play. I'm just telling you, I'm an umpire and Derek Jeter says, Colin, happy birthday. And I've been in the bigs for 30 years. I'm giving him the corner the whole series.
Look, we're not giving referees and umpires enough credit. They take their jobs very seriously. Hey, they're professionals.
Hey, this job seriously, but I can be bought.
There's a human element to everything. Bribery can get you somewhere.
All right, I got to take a break.
Lottery.
Way late. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
I got to take a break. Jason McIntyre next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's not waste any time. We call it tomorrow's headlines today. Jason McIntyre, a former newspaper guy, comes in and tries to predict the headlines coming up. He joins us live. NFL draft 2 weeks away. Let's talk some big names. Let's start with this.
All right.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline going to be for Zach Wilson NFL draft?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's excited in New York. The headline will be... From Brigham to Broadway, Zach Wilson to New York. Colin, here's the thing I love. We are going to have so much fun this fall with headlines with Zach Wilson and the Jets. This is a buy low team. I'm sure you saw the Vegas win totals today came out. Jets over under at 6. I'm all over the over here. By the way, just a word, Richard Sherman still on the market. He's going to make a decision after the draft. Starting to sound like the Jets and Sherman. Jets have 10 draft picks. Zach Wilson's going to be one. I like everything I'm hearing about the Jets. Irrational optimism, Colin.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Justin Fields at the draft?
Well, we've been consistent on this. The headline will be San Fran finds their man. Everybody, and I mean everybody, Colin. You can name all the media guys you want. They were off Justin Fields. And it was kind of paralysis by analysis, right? His first year at Ohio State, 41 touchdowns, 3 picks. Oh, he could be the number one pick. He comes back. He's really good, but not amazing in COVID year. And now we're picking him apart. Uh-uh. Kyle Shanahan is too smart. He is going to stick with Justin Fields. I really like this fit. This is a 49ers team that's going to be back on top. Maybe the second best team in the NFC next year.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline going to be for Trey Lance at the NFL draft?
Yeah, Trey Lance, kind of a quiet guy, only 20 years old. The headline will be Lance to Denver, lock it in. Little pun on Drew Lock there, the incumbent in Denver. But Drew Lock was pretty terrible, right? 18 starts, 18 picks, 11 fumbles. I think they have a really good offense. They'll give Drew Lock one more chance, right? You got the skill position players.
Yeah.
And that defense, Colin, if you look at their offseason, they got Vic Fangio, some really talented players. That's a top 10 unit defensively. Lock gets one more chance. Otherwise, I think Trey Lance is the guy in Denver. And this is a definite buy on the Denver Broncos. I like Trey Lance a lot.
By the way, I have a friend who knows him. He likes Denver. Tomorrow's headlines tomorrow's headlines today. Mac Jones in the draft. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. New England Patriots, Mac Jones. The headline will be Belichick Jonesing for a Big Mac. You know, come on. That was my nickname back when I was a young guy, Big Mac McIntyre. Listen, Mac Jones is a good quarterback. He's not a top 5 guy. People need to get off that. Okay, here's the real story, Colin. Tom Brady, you see he recruited Gio Bernard to Tampa. There's Tom Brady's telling people we're going to go 17-0. And Belichick is starting to feel like, damn, you know, Brady's really won this. We need to make a move. I do think Belichick goes for Mac Jones at 15. Mac Jones is going to fall, but people just start to get with the program. He falls to Belichick. I think Cam wins the starting job, but Mac Jones by midseason, if Cam struggles, Mac Jones could be the guy.
And headline, tomorrow's headline today, Kyle Trask, a lot of rumors he may go at the very end of the first round.
Yeah, well, end of the first round, a chance, but I'm looking at the second round. This is a really smart move here. The headline will be Paul Trask being Brady's successor, Bruce Arians in Tampa. Bruce Arians, I'm hearing, really likes Kyle Trask. He likes those big, big frame receivers, big arms. Remember, he coached Carson Palmer, Big Ben. Kyle Trask, not like fleet of foot. He's not very nimble, but he's got a big arm, pocket guy. This was a three-star recruit who didn't have many offers. Then the Florida Gators are like, wow, this guy's a very accurate passer. They bring him in, 43 touchdown passes last year. This is a great value if Tampa can grab him in the draft. We know Tom Brady's old and he's going to play forever, but eventually Kyle Trask will get a chance. I like the pairing with Bruce Arians.
Yeah, interesting. He does have a decent arm. He's a little cement shoes, but he's got a good arm.
Yeah.
All right, McIntyre, good stuff.
All right, talk to you next week, buddy.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card end of your first year automatically with no limit. Go to discover.com/yes. Also, Navien, hot water that never runs out. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. Spa-like comfort. It never runs out because they only heat the water when you need it. All right, we've been jammed today. We got a packed show today. A lot of things moving around on this show today, Joy. We are less than 2 weeks to the NFL draft, kind of a week and a half of shows. Next week, we do the shows. The following week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, boom, draft Thursday, Friday.
Excited. I really feel like this is going to be one of those. It feels like one of those drafts we're going to talk about for a long time. So many quarterbacks.
It's so funny. We fall for it every time. We fall in love with all these quarterbacks and one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe two work.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think we're going to look. This will be a draft that we talk about a lot. Like what happened in the top 10.
It's funny because four of the quarterbacks I like, four of the five I like. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and Trey Lance.
I don't know anything about Zach Wilson, so I don't know.
I hear good things, don't know much.
Yeah.
It's like my neighbors. I hear good things, I just don't know them.
I'm not a huge neighbor person. Slippery slope. Say hi once, and then they're all in your business for the rest of the time you live there.
Well, you can't get them out of the house. All right, we'll see you Monday. Be safe. It's The Herd.